Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6, with joy and gladness in my soul. I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 348.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 72nd Psalm, Psalm 72. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 72. A psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. And they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou givest us one more Sabbath day in this year that we may come together around thy holy word, setting aside for a moment all that which is in this world, that we have not to do our daily labors except that which is so necessary for the sustenance of the animals and for our own sustenance. But, Lord, thou givest us a day wherein we may yet come to thy house, that we may yet seek thee. That is a day that has begun already in paradise, before that man has fallen, before that a need was there, that we should be redeemed from all our sin. That day wherein thou hast instituted that man would come to bow before thee and to worship thee. Lord, oh, how we have lost it. All desire, all ability, so that by nature it is at best but a form and a custom. And we have come up a Sabbath after Sabbath day in the year that is now so quickly gone by. Thou knowest whether that there has been profit for our poor souls. Lord, that cannot come except that thou wilt give it from above. When it is, and that in this whole year that so many sermons have been heard by us, and that there has been no profit, could it be that thou wouldst not let us go out from this year without thy blessing? That this one more day and that is left, in this year that we are called to come before thy countenance, oh, that it may serve to our welfare. Oh, Lord, convert us with our dear children, and because then also the coming to the end of the Sabbath days that is speaking unto us, that time of grace is quickly hastening away, and that there will come a last time, and that thy word will go forth for us also. And there will come in the last time, and that the warnings are coming unto us. Oh, there will come the last time, and that the name of thy only begotten Son shall be preached unto us. Oh, there shall come an end to the opportunities. There shall come an end to the means of grace. Oh, Lord, give then in our hearts this day an earnest cry that thou may bless thy word, that thou may instruct us in all thy truth, that thou may give life from the dead that we cannot give unto ourselves. Oh, draw us, Lord, for then we shall indeed run after thee, that we may not be allowed to go to our eternal destruction under all the means of grace which will increase our accountability and that will increase our stripes to a never-ending eternity, so that we will be cast into the lowest hell when we have rejected that blessed Son of God, who was born in that manger in Bethlehem stable. Oh, so low did he come in order that we might be saved, oh Lord, and then no form or comeliness in our eyes, because we will not bow, because we will not receive thee. Oh, thou didst weep over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee, even as an hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Oh, Lord, wilt thou grant that message to come home to us then in this day, when we are in our state in which we have been born, but in this day that we may receive a holy unrest for the first time in our life. Oh, that we may be given to see the urgency of the matter, that we have a soul and that we are quickly hastening unto that never-ending eternity, and then to land in that place where hope shall never come. Oh, how shall that worm gnaw, and it shall never die. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may come with thy spirit in this day, and that thou may awaken us from the dead, that thou may give life. Oh, that might begin to breathe hunger, thirst after thee, even as the heart panteth for the brooks of water. Oh, that there might be those who may cry unto thee from beyond the land of Jordan and from the foot of Mount Hermon. Oh, that their thoughts may think on thee. Oh, that they may have a desire, and that they may be reconciled to thee. Remember thy people. Oh, Lord, look upon those who do not see that way. Oh, it may be proclaimed, but Lord, if thou openest not our eyes, we cannot see. Oh, but then there was a blind Bartimaeus. Oh, then he asked of thee, Lord, that my eyes might be opened. Oh, look upon that people, Lord. Oh, open their eyes. Could it be yet in this day that their hearts may rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, and when they are not able to deliver themselves from all their sin and misery? Oh, instruct that people and bring them from strength to strength on that way of Zion. And oh, give a people that may desire, that they may receive that blessed assurance in their hearts, or that they may not be able to meet thee without knowing that the Lord is my God also. Oh, that thou may lead thy people to that blessed reconciliation with that most high God that is to be found in thine only begotten Son. Lord, remember us. Oh, send thy Spirit this day. And wilt thou be with all that are not able to gather with us. Be with the afflicted. Be with the sick. Oh, that thou may strengthen and uphold and give healing. Also, those that have serious diseases, which have heard messages that set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, Lord, wilt thou supply from above for all those that are old and ailing? When there are difficulties of the mind, oh, thou art able to work directly in the heart. And wilt thou supply all for all that care for the sick and the afflicted in this world, those that labor in the nursing homes, in the hospitals, those that labor when there are accidents, when there are fires, when there are disasters, Lord, be on the right and on the left to protect them also and to help them. And wilt thou bless those efforts to help the poor and the needy in this world? And wilt thou look upon doctors and wilt thou look upon doctors and nurses? And wilt thou remember all those that to bring thy word to the poor and the needy, as we have read it also out of thy holy word? Oh, that is that people which is thy people. That is thy church over the length and breadth of the whole world. Oh, that that word that may be made suitable to that people in this day also in our midst. Oh, take reasons, Lord, out of thyself. And wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? Help us to bring thy word. Help us to hear thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 419, stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, but thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of Psalter 419. And the last collection today is for the building fund. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, the 14th verse. Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So far, the words of our text, the revelation of the angels at the incarnation of Christ. First, they reveal the ultimate end of his incarnation. Glory to God in the highest, that we considered yesterday afternoon. Second, they reveal the blessed effect of his incarnation, and on earth, peace. Third, they reveal the moving cause of his incarnation, goodwill toward men. Thus, the revelation of the angels at the incarnation of Christ. First, they reveal the ultimate end of his incarnation. Second, they reveal the blessed effect of his incarnation. And third, they reveal the moving cause of his incarnation. Glory to God in the highest. That is, the ultimate end of his incarnation. That is the ultimate end, that is the ultimate purpose of the Lord in all things, as we heard in the day of yesterday. And there is nothing in the heavens and in the earth and that will stand in the way of the fulfillment of that purpose. Satan, the more he labors that he might stand in the way, the more he serves the end of which the Lord has ordained. And so those angels, children, they sing. They sing of what? They do not sing about man and his works, but they sing about the Son of Man and about his work. They sing about the work, the deeds of the triune God. And now also the humiliation of the Son of God that is now serving that same end of the Lord for which it is ordained. Glory to God in the highest. But that glory to God in the highest, that is not divorced from the creation. No, the creation, that is the very means that the Lord is using to bring about his glory. That was the very purpose of the creation, and that is in a very special way the purpose of the redemption of man. Thus, if that incarnation that will serve his glory, that incarnation is also going to affect his creature. And that is now what we read further. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace, what is that? When relations may be harmonious. We heard a little of that also lately. When there is no strife, when there is no discord. Where does strife come from? What does James write? He writes, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, which war in your members? Discord, strife that has originated already in heaven. We do not know so much about this. There is not so much of this revealed unto us in the Word of God. They are the secret things. But we know that there was already a disruption shortly after the creation in the rebellion of the angels in heaven. And that was not a rebellion that the Lord has winked at, but we can read what has taken place, that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That discord that has spread also to the other creatures of the Lord, even unto man. So we read in the history of the fall, so Satan, he has become the great destroyer of peace. Paul calls him the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. James writes, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." How blessed, congregation, is the state of peace. So we often sing how blessed it is for brethren to dwell in unity. And elsewhere, we read that the psalmist, he writes to seek peace and pursue it. On earth, peace. Over against Satan, the Lord Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Solomon, we read that together. Solomon, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the peaceableness of his kingdom. Then we read that Melchizedek was also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he was king of Salem, we read, that is the king of peace. Thus Christ, he is called the King of Peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. And so we hear the song of those heavenly hosts at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they are singing, and on earth, peace. How is that now? Since the Lord Jesus has come unto the earth, is it so then that there has been peace upon this earth since the coming of the Lord Jesus? Is it so that in every place, especially where that the Lord Jesus has gone, that the influence of the Prince of Peace has been such that it may be observed in this world what were the effects of his coming? Oh, we can observe nothing of the kind upon the earth. Actually, we observe exactly the opposite. Christ himself declared what was coming in the world when he was here. That he said there would be wars and that there would be rumors of wars. He said that nation was going to rise against nation. And in the church, it seems that there has been more discord in the church after the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ than that there was ever before it. What do we read when he was here? John writes that there was a division among the people because of him. Why? Some said, this is the Christ. Others said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Was that then conducive to peace when the Lord Jesus came into the synagogue and when he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees? Is that then the king? Is that then the prince of peace? Later, we can read of the apostles. We read of the apostle Paul. And that he speaks about the resurrection from the dead. And what does he cause? He causes a dissension between the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what do we read in a very special way is taking place in the world in the time of the Lord Jesus and just after the Lord Jesus in a very special way, there is persecution. Saul persecuting the church, making havoc in the church, going from house to house. That the Romans afterwards, a great persecution. And since that day to this, in many places in the world, even in this day, and we can read in the Word of God, the worst of this is yet to come. But those angels, they have sung, and on earth peace. How is that? How is it that they can sing such a song? And how is it then that we read that the Lord Jesus says when he comes, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance with his father and a daughter with her mother. But the angels, they sang. And on earth, peace. We read in the days of Jeremiah that the Lord, he has spoken concerning the false prophets, that they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Thus, they have healed it slightly. They have healed it very, very superficially. They have made a pretension that there was peace, but there was no peace. No, they said, there is no enemy. The sword is not yet in our land. Could see nothing yet of that sword. And then they have prophesied that so it would remain. But how could there be peace? How could there be peace when the Lord was wearied with his people? When the Lord said, your new moons and your Sabbaths, they are a burden to me. That I cannot away with them. Even the solemn meeting. Why? Because there lacks judgment, because there lacks justice, because My own people, they have left that old way, those old paths to walk in them, because they have followed the way of the nations around them, because they are seeking the idols. Peace with God means no peace with mammon. Why? Because we cannot serve God and mammon. Thus, here we have the sword. We have the sword that Christ said that He is come to send on the earth. What is that church called? It is called a church militant. A church militant is a church that is fighting. Thus, the sword that a king of peace is bringing in this world. And when the people of the Lord do not want to use that sword, when they do not want to make war with that triple-headed enemy, with sin, with Satan, with this world, then the Lord, He will send the sword unto His people. Why? Because they are His people. Because He will not permit that people to go on in such a way, but He will chastise that people. Why? That there may be peace with Him. And on earth, peace. What is that peace? What is that peace that Christ came into this world to give? That is not a world that is without war. That is impossible. And why is that impossible? Because as long as Satan remains the prince of the kingdoms of this world, there can be no peace. Because there can be no peace between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There is no cure for Satan. But he is addicted to sin. And therefore, peace with him means our own utter destruction with him. The peace that Christ came to bring into this world is the peace between God and the soul of a sinner. To wit, Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And on earth, peace. Thus, congregation, is there now peace? Is there now peace between God and your soul? Isaiah writes, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And what does Solomon write? He says, "Even in laughter, the soul is heavy." And the end of that mirth is heaviness. The wicked laugh, but there is no peace in their soul. Why? Because their conscience is speaking. And a guilty conscience that is spoiling young people, that guilty conscience that is spoiling all their mirth. Sin and guilt, that is the greatest disruptor of peace in our soul. Oh, what would man sometimes not give if he could only have that voice of his conscience to be silent. It is possible that we have war on every side of us, but to have peace in our soul. We read of David, and that he is chased as a partridge on the mountains, so that he had no rest. But in his soul there is peace. What did he say? He says, though an host should encamp against me, yet will I not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident, because his conscience, that was clear. There was peace. We can have peace on every side and no peace in our soul. David knew that too. David knew that too. When sin lay on his conscience for 9 long months, and there was no peace in his soul. In regeneration, a man loses peace in his soul. Why? Oh, by nature we try to push away and push away and push away and silence the voice of our conscience, young people. But when the Lord converts us, we are made upright. And then it is the reality. Do you know what the psalmist says? He says, the Lord makes me to possess the iniquities of my youth. They all come back. Remember that. Oh, how much work is then taking place that a person may have peace with God, that a person may make it right again. But he has to experience that it is impossible. Do you experience that too? Is there a people here that experience how futile are all the efforts to make peace between God and your soul? What do they experience? It cannot take away sin. Cannot take away sin. Cannot take away the sin of the past. Cannot take away the corruption of the present. And because we cannot take away sin, we cannot make peace. And on earth, peace. What does that mean? That means, and on earth, sin taken out of the way. That is all it can mean. That is all it can mean if God is just. And on earth, peace. What does that mean? And on earth, the price for sin paid by mankind cannot mean anything else. If God is just, therefore those angels, they sing of the blessed fruit of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the humiliation of that Son of God. This child, he will make peace. He will make peace through the shedding of his blood. This child, he shall reconcile once again sinners unto God by the payment of that price for sin. Oh, this child, he shall remove the curse by bearing the guilt, and then there will be peace. There will be peace on the earth. There will be peace in the heart There will be peace in the souls of men with God. And on earth, peace. What is it? It is the revelation of the way to peace to those shepherds. Or it is the revelation of Him who has come to make that peace. Oh, did the Lord ever reveal this way to peace in your soul? That is a great wonder for a people who do not know the way to peace. When the Lord shows unto them His Son, and when the Lord makes a way to peace through His Son, and when the Lord will so show to us His Son, what is going to happen? Well, what did those shepherds do, boys and girls? When those angels came, and when they began to sing, and as we said yesterday, that they touched a chord in their heart, all the glory of God, which was the desire also of their heart, but now also they sing about peace. Oh, that peace between God and their soul, in which they are not able to make. Then what do? When the Lord shows to them, when the Lord opens to them the way of peace, then they arise up. And then they begin to go. Oh, they say, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, that we may see this thing which is come to pass, that the Lord has made known unto us. So it is in the revelation of that only begotten Son of God, or when the Lord shows that people how that is possible to have peace between God and their soul. When the Lord opens to that people His only begotten Son, then they rise up. Oh, then they begin a new search. A new search for God. Oh no, they have been searching for a long time maybe already. But in a new way. In a new way. In a way they have never searched before. It is in the way that God has revealed to their soul. Oh, now the Son of God. Now the precious mediator. He becomes so necessary. He becomes so precious. He becomes so suitable. Now the heart begins to go out after Him for the first time in their life. And on earth, peace. Do they then have peace? Or something of that peace is already experienced in that moment in their heart. Something, a little bit. It is in the hope of it. It is in the expectation of it that they may taste a little of the savor of that peace. When they are set, as it were, now in the right direction, in the direction in which the Lord Himself has made, but it is not fulfilled until later. It is not fulfilled until the application. Why? Because it is not until sin is taken out of the way that there is peace. There is a people that may know that way, but they still do not have the assurance. They still do not have peace for their own soul. Why? There is a great difference between a man that has been summoned unto the court and who has received hope in a surety. A great difference between that man and a man who is coming out of that court and who has heard from the mouth of the judge that the payment has been paid. A great difference. Oh, that man who has yet to go into that court, has he peace? Oh, sometimes there is so much hope in that surety that they are so peaceful. They are so calm. Oh, they may believe that what the Lord has begun, He will also finish. But it is life of up and down. Because faith that is not always the same in its exercise. But now, in that time, when that judge has spoken, and when he has declared that that price is paid, and now that people may go out of the court after the application, oh, then there is a solid, then there is a lasting peace in their soul. Then there is the assurance of that peace. And then the people can look, and they can look for their sin. And they cannot find it. They cannot find it. Why not? What does the psalmist say? He says, "Thou hast forgiven mine iniquity. Thou hast covered all my sin." Oh, is that not now a people who may experience in their life peace on earth, peace between God and my soul, that there is nothing anymore. There is nothing between God and me. Could not happen by the blood of bulls and goats. No, we read it is not possible that they should take away sin. Because Paul says, would they not then have ceased to be offered? Because those worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Not possible by the blood of bulls and goats. But then what do we read? Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And when he came, then those angels sang, and on earth peace. All that is what he will bring. No more conscience of sins. Blessed peace. Oh, then that accuser of the brethren, he can stand and bring his accusations, but he cannot take away the peace in your soul. Oh, there can be war on every side. But that peace in the soul that is abiding, oh, is that not a portion, people of the Lord? Is that now not a portion to be sought? That is sold to the glory of the Lord and sold to the comfort of your soul. Let us sing. Psalter 61. 1-4. My sins and faults of youth, let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1-4 of 61. Our last thought, the angels reveal the moving cause of his incarnation, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. What is goodwill? That is, that speaks about having favor and a disposition to kindness that lies in the will of God. Good will toward men, or evidence of that good will toward men that is lying in the incarnation of the Son of God. How is that, young people? How do you think that is? Is that birth of Christ and the work of Christ is that evidence of God's goodwill toward men, or is that goodwill made by the birth of Christ, that now it is possible for God to have a goodwill toward men because Christ has died? Or it is not the suffering and the death of Christ that is not the cause of that goodwill, but it is the evidence, it is the fruit of his goodwill. The goodwill of God that lies in his own good pleasure. He is a sovereign God. He does whatsoever pleases him. And he is not moved by any cause that is without himself. It pleases him to show favor. It pleases him to show goodwill toward mankind. Thus, that goodwill that is already from eternity, from the Council of Peace, and that goodwill that is the cause of the creation and the cause of redemption. Thus, that goodwill that is unchangeable. There are no conditions upon which that goodwill rests. It rests only in the will of a sovereign God. That goodwill is a greatly undeserved favor to those who deserve the evil will of the Lord. Thus, all boasting on the side of man is taken away. That goodwill is not directed to all mankind. Some even interpret this portion or translate this portion as the men of his good pleasure, goodwill toward the men of his good pleasure. Thus, the glory of God is going to go to God himself to all eternity. Young people, children, you have read, I hope, Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And if not, then that is a good book that you should get and read. And then if you have read that book, then if you go with that pilgrim to that wicked gate, then you will see what John Bunyan named the man who received Christian as soon as he came through that wicked gate. What was his name? His name was Goodwill. Why did Bunyan name that man Goodwill? Bunyan, he was writing about the experience of the true church of God. And where does that experience come from? That comes directly out of the Word of God. And what is that that he has tried to picture when that Christian has come in through that wicked gate? That is what is experienced by the true church when Christ is revealed to their soul. That is the experience of Christmas. And when Christ was born, then those angels did sing, what? Goodwill toward men. And not only so, but Bunyan, writing about the experience of the church, then he says, this is now what is experienced in the heart. When that Savior is revealed, then they experience the goodwill of God. The favor and the disposition to kindness. Goodwill toward men. How unspeakable a wonder that it is for a man in this world to experience the goodwill of God. To a person who has never been humbled, there is no wonder. Because in our pride, then we are still arguing with the Lord. When we are not receiving the highest blessings in this world, then we quarrel with him. But now there is another people that may marvel at the goodwill of God toward their soul. Who are they? That is a people that have been instructed in their unworthiness. What did Mephibosheth say when David said to him, fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Oh, Mephibosheth, he had expected just the opposite. Just the opposite. For him that was an unfathomable wonder. And therefore he says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? There you have the fruit. There you have the fruit of the revelation of that mediator in the life of the people. It is a sinking away under the goodwill of God to their soul. Oh, when they thought it was impossible. Yet the Lord shows there is a way. And then that people, they say, Lord, who am I that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? There you have the fruit. Humility, humility, humility. Do you know that fruit in your life? Glory. Glory to God. In the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Who can fathom the eternal and the unchangeable love of God toward his church? The manifestation thereof, that is, in the sending of his only begotten Son. Although they have oft sinned against him, though they have provoked him sore, though they have left him days without number, though they have cut off the communion with him, though they have even disabled themselves, so that they are not able to return unto him anymore, they may hear him. Unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior, congregation, a Savior. Are you dead? Are you dead? Do you say, young people, I cannot do it? There's nothing I can do. A Savior. A Savior when we are laying dead in trespasses and in sins. Is that not what you need then?
a Savior?
If there is nothing that you can do when you are dead, oh, a Savior. A Savior when the wrath of God that does lay so justly on us that we are not able to take it out of the way. Oh, a Savior, when the weakness of our flesh does not permit us to make it right with God anymore. Oh, a Savior, when the corruption that is laying in my heart or is threatening to seal my destruction forever and forever unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory. Glory to God in the highest, the ultimate end of all the works of the triune God, and the ultimate end of the incarnation of the blessed Son of God, sung by those angels, sung in heaven, and some congregation between the earth and the heavens, but also sung on the earth. Oh, also sung on the earth. No, not sung by those who want to walk still after their own lusts in this world. Then they do not sing it. Also not sung by those who have a mere outward religion, though we sing our heart out. But we still have no desire for God. But it is sung. It is sung by people beginning in that new birth. And it is ever increasing with every lesson, spirit-taught lesson from above. With every insight into the wickedness of their own heart. With every insight into the wretched corruption that still remains, and with every inshining of that Holy Spirit on the mystery of free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is this life for that people? It is a preparation. Oh, it is a preparation that they may sing glory, glory to God in the highest forever and forever for His goodwill toward them. And that they may sink away, that they may sink away under that wonder of the humiliation of that Son of God to all eternity. Or will we also so sink away. Amen. O Lord, convert us. O convert us, Lord, thy servant. He did beseech thee that thou would not destroy the people who had sinned against thee. Because of the honor of thy name, O Lord, we beseech thee that thou would not destroy us, though we deserve to be cast from thee for our service to all the idols of this world. But, O Lord, take reasons out of thyself, and wilt thou glorify thy own name, which will be glorified in the conversion of sinners. O, reveal thy Son, Lord, that it may be experienced in the soul thy good will toward men, and that there may be peace also sought for in the life of thy children, that they may begin to go out to thee, the Son of God, and that thou may lead them to that blessed assurance of peace. Remember us in mercy. Go with us. Bring us safely home. And with desire in thy house, bring us back in this afternoon. Help us to bring thy word one more time. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. And for Jesus' sake, amen. 232. stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 232. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.